Yeah. What is a good schedule? What is a good schedule? What's a good daily schedule in Krishna consciousness? Yeah.
Well, it starts with any kind of hearing and chanting.
Yeah.
Mangalarti is a good way to start.
So what time is that?
Mangalarti
of the day. What time? 4:30. Okay. So your clock's got to go off a little bit before that to get your bath and everything.
Yeah. So get up enough time before Mangalarti and then have a bath.
Yeah.
Go to Mangalarti.
The same song every day. Same song. Yeah. Yeah.
Chant japa, hear Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yeah.
Worship Tulsi Devi.
Ah, okay. And then?
Guru Puja.
Yeah.
Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah. Yeah. Take prasadam, right? Yeah. And then some sankirtan during the daytime, just participate in the sankirtan movement. Prabhupada says anybody who works in the factory and uses all of his money to spread Krishna consciousness is as good as a sannyasi. This is a sannyasi. You know? So you find your position, whatever you can do, and just join the sankirtan movement. So morning and evening, RT, kirtan, and then what's next? Hearing a little bit from the scriptures, and then prasadam, you know. It's probably ISKCON sandwich, you know. So there's so many schedules. That's one basic daily schedule is you know, Mangalarti, and then some your time for your job. The sun's coming up. You can read and take a little prasadam and go to work, whatever your sankirtan process is. And then the evening, come back, take a bath, another RT for Krishna. So you see Krishna as a person, sing for him, one bhajan, like that. It goes on and on. One time in Los Angeles, on the wall, there was a letter that said, Prabhupada has requested all kirtan leaders to have at least 20 minutes of maha mantra every kirtan. Like that. So yeah, we have one bhajan, and it sets the mood, the humor. Then after that, maha mantra, you know, meditating like that. You know, so at least every day, at least 1 hour, maybe half an hour, at least 45 minutes, you know, of maha mantra kirtan. And every day, you know, job, at least we do about 2 hours of job. You know, and then you have a program. You have to do a program here. Somebody says, please come and do a Krishna consciousness program. You know. So what are the basic elements of a Krishna consciousness program? You're invited to go to we were invited to come to the Sri Sai Baba Ayurvedic Medical Center in Miami, you know. So what's a basic way to divide our time up there? What should we do? Yeah.
Should hear and discuss Bhagavad Gita.
Okay. Yeah. Kirtan.
Kirtan.
Yeah. Start with some music. One thing I could probably say kirtan. Lecture, kirtan, prasad. And that's a very nice way to divide it up. You start with some music, you have some discussion, the philosophy, go back a little music, and afterwards, you know, everybody goes home with a big smile on their face and prasadam like that. You know. So this is a basic way. Then different things happen, different festivals throughout the year, like that, you know. And we should get a yearly rhythm. You know. Bhati Sup, Damodar Maharaj, my sannyas guru there from Manipur, he said you should have long-range goals in your life, like, you know, 20 years like that or something like that, you know. Because if some problem comes like that, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, I can deviate for 1-2 years. You know, it doesn't matter. It's like, oh, I can't do this. No, it's like, because we're going there, you know. So if I have to move to a different city for some time and do something unexpected for a couple of years, that's okay. Because I got, you know, I'm making progress towards this long-range goal, you know, going back to Godhead like that. And then, you know, like that, you build up so many different kinds of schedules. Like when you get on the airplane, it's just like have a certain way to, you know, keep your mind occupied. Like, okay, I can't use my laptop or anything for a certain number of minutes here as I do this and that. I say certain prayers, I'm getting off like that. You know? And it also just reminds you of Krishna. That's the main point. Because if you have a schedule, but you don't remember Krishna, then what's the use? You can schedule yourself right out of Krishna consciousness. You know? So it should be practical. Like that, remembering Krishna. You know? And you develop all these different ways of controlling your mind, your time like that, using it properly. And then, you know, you're always in Krishna consciousness. You know? Another time, Bhadravardhan again, told me Prabhupada said on these big festival days, you can spend 20 minutes doing kirtan, you know, devotees, haribo. Then you do 20 minutes reading, and then 20 minutes japa, like that. And again and again like that, so 1 hour. The kirtan gets your whole body going, everything else just wakes you up, energy, you know. Then you can read like that, and your mind becomes engaged in understanding things. Very nice, you know. And then japa, you can actually then individually focus on the maha mantra like that, you know. And then again, And I've done it sometimes like that on Jamastami and stuff, and then just go on and on and on. By the time you're like, you know, you drop, you wake up again, kirtan, and it's just, wow, shoo, shoo, shoo. It goes on and on like that, you know? So many ways, and everybody's different. Everyone's got a different kind of mind, right? So you have embodies, so you got to develop different ways to control it. But this is one of the most important aspects of sadhana bhakti, is developing your calendars, your schedules, like that, you know? And then you can also, too, you know, if you chant your rounds, 6-minute rounds, if you do, the Western mind can keep a maximum of about 3 seconds at one time. This is it. Any event which takes more than 3 seconds, it classifies as two events, like that, you know? And so this is a whole book called Mind Works by Ernst Poppel. I found it in my room. Other things too, it's interesting. So I read that. Okay, let me try and chant the whole Maha Mantra in 3 seconds. You know, go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Ramadi Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Ramadi Ram. If you do that, you see, yeah, that you can get the whole thing as one event, you know, like that. And some days it breaks it in half, you know. And then you start seeing, wow, the whole, there's no past or future, it's all right here, you know. And you see, well, hey, wait a second, this is kind of sliding off this end, let me push it back over that, you know. And you get the whole mantra, you go into this iconographic mode of thinking. You're contemplating rather than like in the mode of passion going forward like that. And then you really can, the mantra is there, oh, so absorbing, you know. And you see, well, what is my relationship to it? I noticed at that point for my 7 years in Krishna consciousness that I'd always been emphasizing Hare Rama more than Hare Krishna when I had that there. So I changed to Hare Krishna and it was a whole, you know, different experience, you know, like that. So this is meditation, buddhi. Come to that point where you're just absorbed like that, you know. So even like, you know, your japa and stuff. Time is the external manifestation of the Paramatma, right? So if we're, how we're relating to time, that's how we're relating to Paramatma, you know, a feature of Krishna and Krishna. So six Goswamis were very expert at filling up all their time with this Krishna consciousness. Number seven. Oh, yeah. Comment. Take it over here. You're...
I was talking with a gentleman the other day. He was relatively new to Krishna consciousness, and he says when he sits down to chant japa, if he chants without any particular measurement in mind, like chanting rounds, then he feels the mantra is very sweet.
Yeah.
But if he sits down to chant with the objective of chanting so many rounds, then he can't taste the sweetness and he can't control his mind. So.
Yeah.
What would you say to somebody like that?
Sometimes in the beginning, the sweetness, the sentiment is simply sense gratification. Because, you can produce this effect in your body, you know, and it feels good. It gets rid of the distress, and you can stimulate. If you watch, sometimes you're stimulating your stomach with the Maha Mantra, sometimes you're stimulating your throat, sometimes, you know, you're using the... You know, the rhythm and the prana and everything else to stimulate your body in a certain way like that, you know. And a certain, of course, different sounds, ka, 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 has a, you know, a result here and different tones and stuff. So it can be this sense gratification like that. It can be sweet in terms of sensuous sweetness while your mind is thinking something else. I will become God or something. This will expand until I'm enjoying the entire universe. Hare Krishna, yeah. But in a more advanced level, of course, then the sweetness can be coming, you know, directly from the soul, like that, you know. And in between, it becomes, you know, different levels like that. So that's why I would say that, you know, when you come to this level where you're governed by bhava, to bhava bhakti, then these rules and regulations. That's why it says an advanced devotee does not follow the rules and regulations so strictly. It doesn't mean to follow the principles. It means these rules and regulations of timing and that kind of stuff, you know. And also the timing, I would say, too, is that that's also, it's a matter of taste, ultimately. That it's time to quit this, but we should go on for a little bit longer today and just like that, and we can shorten this like that. But now it's not governed by this, you know, mechanical clock thing, you know. It's governed more by just by taste. But that's, you know, advanced, and we can become fooled by bodily, you know, by sense gratification taste. So, in the beginning, I would say, you know, the only thing we should really stick with for sure is 16 rounds a day, right? And other than that, it's your airplane. But you got to finish 16 rounds a day on beads, like that. Yeah? Not on a clicker, I don't know, like that. Yeah. So, yes, sir. Yeah.
Just to clarify,
watching my watch. We go until 8 o'clock? Or? Okay. All right.
Maharaj, where is, how do we understand that the time is the external representation of the Paramatma?
Okay. Kapila, in the third canto, he's describing Sankhya in great detail of what is this world, the different elements, the psychological elements, all these things like that. And I probably have it in my notes someplace, but he says to his mother, I keep myself internally as the Paramatma, and externally I am perceived as a time factor. So somebody who's looking internally to try and act properly, be guided properly in his choices, his decisions, he's coming into contact with the Paramatma, or in Christian tradition, the Holy Spirit. People appreciate this, you know. Or Lady Luck, you know, if you're a gambler. Many people who are gamblers by profession, you talk to them, they have a very elevated view of reality. Like some guy, he's winning at the casino, he knows, I got to do something good with some of this money. I got to go out and look for some guys in the street who haven't got any folk food or clothing or place to sleep tonight and say, hey, buddy, here's $100. Go sleep well. You know? And they know. Otherwise, Lady Luck won't be pleased with me. You know? So they have a whole celestial kind of way they live this life. You know? And then they can feel like, you know, here's the word, when you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not. That's one whole song, gambler song, you know? Like that. And so they have this intuition that, you know, okay, put everything on you know, red 25, here we go, the long chance, you know. So they're coming in contact with the same Paramatma, you know. Everybody, different cultures. And psychologists talk about, you know, contacting the psychologist within. And you connect up with your patient and can, like, reach them, you know, and change them like that, their problems. So that's the Paramatma, and but everybody will tell you, you've got to be even, you know, good. You've got to be proper to come in contact with that. But if you want to look externally to dominate the world, right, with this dominating eye, you know, then you see time. Time to do this, time to do that, you know. Yeah. It's very nice, because everybody wonders, what is time? But here's what's a nice explanation. Yeah. And therefore, you know, somebody, a Goswami, you know, should have an expert sense of timing. Yeah. Like that, one of the judges like that, you know. Okay, yeah. So was this number 7 here? Oh.
I just got a call and question.
There you go. Okay, yeah. Wow. Number 7. It'll come back. It'll come back.
I offer my respectful obeisances unto 6 Goswamis, namely Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who were sometimes on the bank of Radha Kunda Lake, sometimes on the shore of the Yamuna, and sometimes in Vamshivat. At these places, they appeared just like madmen in full ecstasy of love for Krishna, exhibiting different transcendental symptoms in their bodies, and they were merged in ecstasy of Krishna consciousness.
Joy. He's kind of letting it all loose now. Yeah. And then finally, take it on home here. Number 8. Number 8.
By the mercy of the spiritual master?
No. It's like page 25. Okay. There we go.
I offer my respectful obeisances unto the 6 Goswamis, namely Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Dasa Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopala Bhatta Goswami, who chanted very loudly everywhere in Vrindavan, shouting, O Queen of Vrindavan, Radharani, O Lalita, O Son of Nanda Maharaj, where are you now? Are you just on the hill of Govardhan? Are you under the trees on the bank of Yamuna? Where are you? These were the moods in executing Krishna consciousness.
So, I think number 7 is describing their position in Krishna consciousness, and number 8 is maybe describing Viparlamba, you know, that they're in separation, which is the highest ecstasy that Lord Chaitanya was presenting like that. That higher than connecting with Krishna is always looking for Krishna. It's even a more intense feeling like that. Of course, there has to be connection also, but this combination of separation and connection like that, generating this intense feelings of service like that to the youthful king and queen of Vrindavan. Sisa Goswami ki. So it's a very nice meditation, this learning it word by word, all the word by word meanings is so nice. Any comments? Anybody else here? Sagoswami Astak or anything?
It's a good
Ashtaka. When do you sing it?
A certain
time? There he goes. I see it.
If I don't, then I do it with my other Ashtakams.
Yeah. I knew you had a schedule.
That's what my question was. It's a regulated lifestyle. The Gita says it's a regulated lifestyle is how you keep things balanced. If you really work with the modes of nature, like, when Satyagun is in the morning time and then Raja, etc., that's best. But some people work graveyard, so they have to adjust their friendship. But if you regulate, you can still at least begin the process.
I think like a sadhana bhakti, a lot of it is having all these subroutines. Okay, I got to start working. I got to stay up late to go meet my friend at the airport. He's coming in from Hong Kong at 2 o'clock in the morning. I got to leave. But you're all ready for that. Okay, then I take rest here. I get up here. I do that. I get this place like that. And so you start developing all these different calendars and stuff to match up certain situations like that. Otherwise, your mind is just like you're saying. Your mind is just like there's no schedule. Your mind is just goes anywhere like that. But your mind is a schedule all like this. And also, I think it's different for different people, too. There was a psychological study one time of Hare Krishnas, if they're crazy or not. When it was a guy, Weiss, friend of the devotees, long time. He wanted to show Hare Krishnas aren't crazy, So he had a really good inventory, and one big professor from UCLA helped him do all the psychometrics and everything. And he interviewed a lot of devotees. How much are they Hare Krishnas? Did you name your children Hare Krishna names? And, a real good inventory. He got awards for it, even. And then they use a test, which is a standard psychological test they give to pilots for American Airlines or something like that, several airlines. And Hare Krishnas aren't crazy, that we established. But Hare Krishna males are 100 times more likely to be compulsive personalities than ordinary people. It doesn't mean they're 100 times more compulsive, but it means amongst them, it's 100 times more likely you'll find a compulsive personality. Compulsive personalities are lawyers, chemists, engineers. How many people here fold your socks before you put them away like that? No, you don't fold your socks? No, you just got to toss them here and there. You put them in pairs like that? No? You put one there? Okay. He's the one guy who's not. But this is like compulsive personality. My socks go here, my underwear goes here, my hat goes like this. This is time for that. Okay. So. But maybe it's not a bad habit, It becomes too crazy, too much, then it's sick, we call it. What's it called? Neurotic. You become neurotic, But this is very important, Sankhya Purvak. So it's nice to be here. Back home. I tell people San Jose, my home. Tennessee is my office. Peru is my factory. Having trouble in the factory now. So like that. Just struggling, A lot of pilfering, So, but we've been. My name is Hanumat Preshak Swami, and I took first initiation the same letter Vaisheshya took second initiation like that, So he can. I'm always his servant then. So he never can escape from this. He always has to take me as his servant. Can't escape, We used to wash pots together like that. I remember one time. Remember that one time? I was chanting Hare Krishna and you were chanting Panchatattva Mantra together loud. Remember that?
In San Francisco.
Yeah? And some of you looked at each other and realized that both mantras were there at the same time. Like, wow, how nice. I remember that. I always remember that. It was just like, wow. It was like, washing pots. Wow. Yeah, so we've been doing a lot of things. In 1974 I was initiated myself, and then 1984 took sannyas, working with Bhakti Sudhamana Maharaj with the science programs and cultural programs. And now we've been developing a whole program, it's a regular Bhakti Shastri program, probably had a systematic program for studying, suggested different ways. So in Peru, we've been able to actually develop a good unit of devotees like that, many professional teachers, university teachers. And finally, they're all kind of fitting together in a certain kind of way where they can get along with their egos. And so we did a couple events. And then we started doing the Bhakti Shastri program like that. And so we went through it very quickly, like just 7 months. Because you already know the philosophy like that. This is kind of just to standardize it all. And then you can be officially registered as a Bhakti Shastri Examination Center. We did all that. And so then we had our testing. And out of, out of 8 people, 7 people passed the test. 98%, 80%, like that was on down. And then one Mataji didn't pass. When you grade the tests, there's some flexibility like this and that. Like if you're supposed to know 5 things and you know 3, you can give like 3 points out of 5. So we kept trying to adjust her score again and again. Just couldn't do it. It was just like 5 points too small or something like that. But she wasn't at all disturbed because she had her children and everything else, so she's busy, and so she was thinking, I wasn't going to pass at all, But anyway, then 7 people got their Bhakti Shastri degrees. And our whole philosophy is you're studying Bhakti Shastri to teach Bhakti Shastri. What are the basic texts? There's Bhakti Shastri, then Bhakti Bhai Bhava, then Bhakti Vedanta, Bhakti Sarvabhauma, and then you become an avatar. you discover that you're actually an incarnation of God. I discovered. So that's the danger, I guess. So Bhakti Shastri, what are the books for Bhakti Shastri? Books are the basis. What are the books for Bhakti Shastri? Do you know? Ishopanishad, Nectar of Instruction. First part of the Nectar of Devotion. First part, And Bhagavad Gita, like that. And probably accepted different variations like that, But that he said a couple times suggested that. And then Bhakti Bhai Bhava? First 6 cantos. And then Bhakti Vedanta probably said the whole Bhagavatam. Then Bhakti Sarvabhauma, I think he said Chaitanya Charitamrita, like that. So it's a very progressive study. And so everybody went through, then we were organizing. And it's a lot of work, trying to establish a nice curriculum so everybody fits together. And so now we've established that we're going to do everything, 2 years, take 2 years, and follow the local school year, starting March 15th, finishing off December 15th, and take a summer break from 15th December until 15th March, because it's below the equator down there. So, 9 months working and then 3 months off like that. And it's working out pretty well. And it's expanding then because so many people actually want to take this. There's actually many people who are looking for a systematic, Shastra course. And even there may be some totally different group, even Christians. Like to read your scriptures like that. So it's expanded from Peru. Lakshman's going from Peru, Lima, to Pune, to Cochabamba in Ecuador, to La Paz and back like that. He's a traveling preacher. It's very nice because he's a brahmachari. He's been caught up in administration for so long. Now he has an excuse to get out and just, go traveling like that. And he has maybe 5 people, 7 people, 3 people. Then Patrak and Anamaya. They have a group up in northern Peru in Chiclayo, and somebody else in over in Ecuador. So it's like a whole regional thing. And then in eastern South America, there's Dhanvantari Swami, who has an academy. Everybody wears uniforms. Ladies have one kind of sari, and he has a whole regular academy like that, with Sankirtan, everything else included like that. And in the south is one devotee, Parampadam, also a very systematic program. And they're starting Bhakti Bhai Bhava, regulating it. In the north, Aravinda. Aravinda, Argentinian devotee? He's a real big super Sankirtan guy, So he has, for example, like at Christmas, he had this thing in Mexico now where they have like plastic bag with like maybe 3 or 4 books, a couple small books like that in it, So it's a whole thing of selling it like at one time like that. Very nice program. Where is it? Is it yours? Is it your hearing aid?
No, in this box. No, that is in that pocket.
It's okay.
It's in
Yeah. So. Anybody hear where it is? Need a bat. One bat. There it is. Okay. Die. It's like a whole lifetime. I got to sell a whole lifetime worth of book distribution to pay for that, right?
What is that? Your phone goes off in the class.
$5.
You have to buy one G-Shapanishad. So that was 10, right?
That's exactly right. Okay. You can buy a full case. Wow. So different places or different groups studying systematically. In Europe, in Rotterdam, which is our college, and they're giving full bachelor's degrees now. They did it last year, was the first year. And students are going to Oxford or every place else like that. It's a degree in theology. And it's formally accredited by the United Kingdom, like that one program they have. And but that's also more academic. It goes into the different academic traditions and stuff like that. Then in Vrindavan, there's the Vaishnava Institute for Higher Education, VIHE. And then in Mayapur, there's the... they changed their name. Now it's the Mayapur Institute. They're separating themselves from the Vrindavan Institute. Yeah, and then the Bhakti Shastri program is developing them like that. You know? So we're developing our program. I took 5 students. I got one right here. There he is, right there. He was. And then one in Australia, like that. And each of them also has, you know, maybe some students. But you can't really work with more than 5 people, you know, closely like that. So, okay, then they have their own students to a certain limit, like that and stuff, you know. And then I'm writing a curriculum. It's so satisfying. I'm finally doing what I wanted to do, you know, talk about what I wanted to talk about. And it's called Tava Pache Pache, which means, you know, which are Bengalis here. Yeah, it's from the Upadeshamrita song, Ohe Vaishnava Thakur, like that. Krishna Krishna Boli, Dai Tava Pache Pache. I'm just running behind you, chanting Krishna, 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 like that. So the title of my book is, you know, if I ever finish it, Tava Pache Pache, Afterwards to the Upadeshamrita, or Afterwards to the Nectar of Instruction. And so I'm using Nectar of Instruction, it's you know, my book, as the basis of our study. Then Prabhupada says in the Nectar of Instruction then, that Rupa Goswami has given us other books, such as, what? He's given us Nectar of Instruction and Nectar of Devotion and 2 more. Yeah, Lalita Madhava and? Yeah? And one of those is about Krishna in Vrindavan. The other is about Krishna in Dwarka. Which one is about Krishna in Vrindavan? Vidagda Madhava. Yeah, because the V's match. Vrindavan, Vidagda. Yeah, like that, you know? So he mentions this several times. Yeah. So we're just calling this Rupa Shiksha, you know, Upadeshamrita. It's a summary of everything, right? Rupa Goswami summarized all of his knowledge in just 11 verses. You know, chant this every day and spend 3 minutes with a genius. Rupa Goswami ki. So it's a summary. Then we got Nectar of Devotion, right? A copy here? Somewhere. Yeah. Right there? Yeah. With an easy reach. Somewhere. Up. You got it? My God. Yeah. So this is Upadeshamrita, you know, the essence of all advice, 11 verses. This is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the complete science of Bhakti Yoga. Summary, complete science, and then Vidagda Madhava and Lalita Madhava. And those are a demonstration. You know, Rupa Goswami is showing us what he means. Here's the science, and here's Vidagda Madhava and Lalita Madhava. Now we're going to do it, like that. So they're full of all these different kinds of mellows and feelings and sentiments, all combining together in certain ways like that. And the poetry, the Sanskrit is just... And you see a translation, and the translator will say, okay, this can be translated as, O Satyabhama, compared to the moon, you are... compared to you, all other girls are like the stars compared to the moon, right? Satyabhama is there. So, oh, compared to you, all other girls are like the stars compared to the moon. So Rukmini is listening from behind the bushes, and Krishna knows this, and it says that, oh, you are wonderful, but I have another wife who is like the moon, right? And then Purnamasi is listening, and she hears, oh, it's a nice day. I wonder if it's the full moon today, right? So you can interpret it three different ways like that, depending on who's listening like that. You know? So trying to translate this, how do you translate this into English, right? You know? So it's full of all the actual mellows of Vrindavan, these books like that. So this is our spinal column. You know, because Prabhupada said you cannot, in 100 years, you cannot read all of our books thoroughly. So you've got to pick out something, right? And then really get into it. In terms of your service, your preaching, like that. You know, tomorrow night we may be going to discuss Upanishad, but that's for a certain kind of people. It's for a certain class of philosophers, a certain kind of people, the Upanishads. And these things are for somebody else. You know, Prabhupada was saying, I was just reading, he says that one of my godbrothers, Ananta Vasudeva, he was publishing all this Goswami literature. But he said it was a waste. You know, nobody could understand it, and nobody would buy it. And if they did buy it, they would just interpret it in some kind of, you know, gross sex psychology or something like that. You know, so certain literature is for certain kinds of people like that. You know, so we're developing this program. We have our it's online there. We have some of the stuff there. The study guide we've written to a certain point now. Actually, we started pretty recently. We've gone through Upadeshamrita, first three verses. Now we're switching over to Upanishad. First six verses, because they connect like that. Yeah. So, any questions?
How do you
okay. Huh? Well, okay. This is what I recommend. As everybody get their own local program going. So, North America, we should get this. You know, like they have in South America. These Latinos are getting ahead of us here. You know, and then do a local program, and then other people can come through and supplement it. You know, talk about their perspective on different texts like that. You know. So I would suggest, again, you get your program going there, you know, like that, you know, something. Because the thing is, you already know this. It's for you all, it's like a matter of just most of you people just going through and, you know, just doing systematically, you know. And then you can take their test, the ISKCON test, or else you can write your own test and stuff like that, develop your own center like that, you know. So I'm always pushing this. This is my, you know, you're irritating people on the street. What is it? So I'm always pushing people to get, you know, systematic program set up like that. And not so hard, yeah, like that, you know. So maybe you can see somebody here take charge, you know. Some administrative guy, like that, yeah. But other than that, you know, we're doing the program here, you know. And actually, we have our own newsletter every 2 weeks since 1979. The Hanuman Express Dispatch has been going out. I changed the name, now it's the Kapidwaja. And you can find it at our website, www.jayarama.us. Prabhupada says when Hanuman came to the ocean, he didn't think for a long time about what was on the other side, what was going to happen. He just said, Jai Ram, and jumped like that. Jai Ram, like that. So that's our website, jayarama.us, because we're Americans. Jai, I'm proud of it. Why not? Yeah. Yeah.
Is there a syllabus for that?
Yeah, we have our... Well, the syllabus, I guess, is those books, you know. Upadeshamrita, Nectar of Instruction. What we're doing is Upadeshamrita... Okay. We're also adding Light of the Bhagavad in our curriculum.
Should we work with Sri Vaishpandit on this? Or?
Well, you can, if you want to. But I don't know how much he can handle also. But I know, it's myself. It's just five people, and then... Okay, there you go. 40 people. Yeah, no, I just like so many people wanting to say, I can't do it, Prabhu. It's maybe took with him, like that. Yeah. He's the only one who works with so many people. So first it was 7 people, and now we've got probably 85 students. And our thing is, you're learning this to teach it. Our suggestion is when you take your Bhakti Bhai Bhava degree, Prabhu says all the sannyasis should have Bhakti Bhai Bhava degree. Oh, Goswamis. 2 years to Bhakti Shastri. 4 more years to Bhakti Bhai Bhava, Goswami, right? You should have taught Bhakti Rasamrita. You should have taught Bhakti Shastri 2 times, right? Before you become Bhakti Bhai Bhava, you should have taught the Bhakti Shastri program 2 times. Okay, I learned a little bit. I got a score of 75. I don't know so much. Okay, start teaching it. Well, I need to study it again. Teach it. Yeah, because you teach it, you know, then you really start, you know, learning it like that. It's much harder to write a test than it is to take a test. To write a good test is a lot of work like that. The questions aren't ambiguous. They're interesting. They actually test the material. Oh, how many people here write tests? Yeah, you know? Yeah, it's hard, isn't it? Otherwise, it's a stupid question. Yeah. So, you know, doing that. Everybody should learn to teach, you know, expanding like that. Actually, all over the world, the Krishna consciousness movement where I go and stuff is really just is going through. Chandika Pandit says, whenever men and money start to accumulate in one place, the king should understand that either by the arrangement of man or God, something is about to happen. Yeah? Whenever money, you see money's coming in now and qualified people are coming, the king has got to look around and say, either by the arrangement of man or God, something is about to happen. Commander-in-chief, police officer, come here, what's going on? So I see all over the world when I'm traveling, all these older devotees are coming back. Bhavananda, Atreya Rishi, Rameshwar. It's just like everybody is starting to come back, and it's just, you feel like, and they're potent. They've been through a lot of things now, stuff like that. You know, it's just like, phew, wow. Trey Rishi came back. He was came to Vrindavan. You saw him down there? Saw him?
Yeah, I just missed him. He was at Keshavarapuram.
Yeah. And he saw me in the guest house. He came over, Eric, grabbed me like this, like an Arab, and said, "You Prabhu, you're still here. You know, you don't know what it means to me to see you like this. You know, like that. You're always here. You know." Then he was giving the Bhagavad Gita class in the evening, and people were asking me about when Prabhupada came to Iraq. And he was just remembering after years and everything, and it was just like, you know, it was so intense, it was like, you know, you had to kind of almost not do it, you know, like that. You know. So is Krishna consciousness, and also vegetarianism is all over the place in South America now. And again, there's nobody pushing vegetarianism like us. I don't know any other group can at all, like restaurants, preaching, books. And so it's all over the place now. It's just, you know, vegetarian restaurants, vegetarian, you know, cooking, you know. So something, you know, may see some really good change.